All across America, the song of freedom rings, the song that's growing stronger every day. It tells us when we listen to the message that it sings. Let us lift our voices. We can make the choices. We will make the most of all the best that freedom brings. Sizzler is the one who brings us choices. Reaching out across the USA.
Over America, a quiet revolution has been taking place. More and more, both parents are working and raising families. Life seems to be moving faster than ever, and Americans have rediscovered, are redefining what's really important in their lives. They want quality in their personal life, in their business life, in the goods they purchase, and in the food they eat. They want good, basic home cooking, quality food, and they want choices, variety, all at a reasonable price. Americans want value.
Sizzler brings the choices that you've been looking for, giving you the right to choose. We're offering much more by holding to traditions, yet changing with the times. Choices and selections, choices of directions, choices that can add a little freedom in your life. Sizzler is the choice of America. Sizzler gives you choices.
Wholesome American cooking. Fresh fish, a variety of salads, wonderful hot appetizers, tantalizing combination platters, all backed with a new kind of courteous, friendly service. Sizzler introduces a new kind of dining with two completely different dining experiences in one restaurant. The Grill, with a variety of distinctive platters served at your table, and the Buffet Court, a whole experience on its own, where you create delicious combinations just the way you want them. It's a restaurant within a restaurant with all the value, quality, and freedom of choice Americans want. It's unique. It's bold. It's ahead of the competition. Sizzler for the 90s. Exactly what America wants.
You're listening to another baby yodel and blow. You're listening to another baby yodel and blow.
I don't really know any other words to that Private Idaho song. I don't even know what you're doing.
It's that
all
you're
flying over my head.
That you're living in your own private Idaho, B-52s.
Oh, okay.
I wish I knew some Fred Schneider parts.
So I guess...
I do a pretty good Fred Schneider.
That's a song. Yeah. And also there's that movie, My Own Private Idaho, with Keanu.
Yeah, and so River Phoenix.
Your own private Idaho is some sort of saying? What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. Sign says, woo!
I mean, yeah.
Stay away, fool!
I guess all the B-52 songs are...
Line up.
A little esoteric when I think about it.
Down.
Aren't quite literalists when it comes to their lyricism. Maybe I shouldn't look too much into it.
Yeah, but literally, you are listening to another Baby Oil and Blow.
Mm-hmm.
With your boys, the big O baby. And with me...
Also me.
The birthday boy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be the Grandmaster Sexay to my Scotty Too Hottie.
That's a timely reference.
You are Nate Adams.
Hoi hoi, everybody.
This is your birthday over the weekend, man.
Hang myself by the end of this podcast.
Yeah, hang in there, pal. It's going to be a very throaty episode.
Big birthday weekend.
Because we drank too much and I got everybody sick.
A lot of time in bars. A lot of time just like swapping spits.
Yep.
Getting germs all over everything. Yep. Because I woke up this morning. First thing.
Yeah.
I just felt it. I was like, oh no, there's something going on with my throat. Matt got me sick.
Yep.
How are we going to be able to podcast tonight? What if I lose my voice?
I would describe the weekend's festivities as similar to that of the Kurt Russell classic, The Thing.
Is that the movie where they drink until they're blacked out three nights in a row?
Yeah, and then something just gets into all of them. Pretty soon, they're all dead.
Oh, I see what angle
I think
you're
that's
going
the moral
there.
Of the story
okay,
for that
yeah.
movie. We drank a lot, though.
Yeah, that's why today's a rehydration day. That's
yeah.
why just domestic beers.
That's
all we can drink right now.
Right.
Gotta, you know, get that H2O level back up.
We got a fancy new beer called Yingling.
I made myself cough.
Oh, God.
There's number one.
White people are so into Yingling
There's
right now.
There's number one. I regaled Nate with a delightful story at the, not my local Chili's, but a couple towns over Chili's.
Gotta,
I frequent all the Chili's.
You gotta go to the nicer Chili's
check
every
them all
once
out.
In a while.
I
treat
check
yourself.
Them all out. It was a good outing. And
who's
there was,
the GM over there at the Chili's you were at?
Brett.
Oh, yeah, he does great work.
Yeah, Brett Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been a baseball player.
Keeps those baby back ribs on point.
Those baby back ribs. Oh, if you haven't been to the Chili's in a while, they got this new... You pick.
Well, I haven't been to the Chili's in a while, so this is very exciting
you
for
get
me.
Like a flavored beverage, not an alcoholic one.
Okay,
but I
or
found out
like a,
they will credit
like a raspberry
that
lemonade
your booze.
Or something.
Yeah, you can do like a soda or like a flavored tea and whatever.
Okay,
or a lemonade.
I'm on board so far.
And you can get
I like flavor.
You can get like a salad, or you can get like chips and salsa.
Uh-huh.
I love their chips and salsa.
Oh, absolutely, but I got a spring for that queso though. I'm
well,
not just,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not
sometimes the little lady
settle for salsa.
Sometimes the little lady's like, I can't eat the queso. It's too much.
That's
and I'm like, oh god. And then I eat all of that
stupid opinion.
And I make a meal out of queso, and it's not good. But they got this thing, and it's like you pick three, you get like the drink, the salad, and a chip and dip or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and an entree.
Okay.
That's $10.
$10.
You can't beat it.
No, that's very affordable.
I got a giant beer last time I was there, and they credited the price of my free drink towards my beer. I was like,
that's
man.
Very accommodating.
Jeez, these people at Chili's taking care of us.
Now, that Applebee's.
Yeah.
They do those $1 Long Island iced teas I was hearing about. What's, how does that work?
There's got to be a lot of liability there. I don't.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like somebody's going to die because of that.
I mean, I understand, yeah, you're just getting like a quarter ounce of each one of those boozes. It's not like as crazy as it sounds, but still, $1?
Right.
What are the margins on that? What are they pouring?
And like the...
Are they literally making their own bathtub gin, like in the back of the Applebee's at this
cool.
point?
It's like, and you think about it, like the awful excuse of a human being that you and I know that is the bartender at the Applebee's
sure.
by us.
Uh-huh.
There's no way she'd be like, oh, you're cut off. I think you've had too many dollar Long Island iced teas.
Cut off at the Applebee's.
She'd be like,
good name for my upcoming biography.
I was just going to say, that's a dynamite. Yeah.
It's gonna look for that in bookstores.
Cut
soon.
Off at the Applebee's. That's like pretty much the direction our lives are heading though, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's about time we start doing our hanging out at chain restaurants.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past, but I think it's time to take
chain
action.
Restaurant scale? I think Applebee's is the low point, maybe. Is there one that I like less than Applebee's? The big chains that, like, you see fucking everywhere.
I eat more at Applebee's than I do TGIF's.
See,
but I will say Applebee's is like trashier.
Yeah, I don't know.
Last time we went to TGIF's is when we got wasted.
That's right.
Was that before?
I think I came
grandma's house or whatever.
We definitely got wasted at TGI Fridays and then saw a multiplex movie.
We got wasted at exactly Chili's what. Too before a movie as well. I can't
but
remember.
But Chili's, yeah, they're up there. I think they might be my top.
Yeah, Chili's
is. They got some foods that I like there.
That's top notch, man.
Applebee's, I think, has nothing that I like. TGI Fridays, I'm saying they do appetizers very well. Yeah. So that's putting them in front of Applebee's in my book.
Applebee's has a very nice chicken strip. You get the little buffalo sauce with that, and it's nice. Nice little 1-2. Also, they have a grilled chicken.
Recently, I saw their...
It's actually really good.
It's about as crazy as the $1 Long Island iced tea deal. Their endless chicken fingers.
Yeah, that's only on
promotion.
Thursdays.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
I'd like to go somewhere and see how many chicken fingers I could eat before I vomited.
Or diarrhea.
That's a fun little game to do,
I could
I think.
See, like, just eating chicken strips
I
until,
think maybe
like,
Applebee's has found their niche.
Shit myself without,
just
like a choice in the matter.
We're going to serve food deals that, you know, are things that friends will bet each other on.
Oh, nice.
You come here as a bet and, like, do something disgusting. That's going to be our niche because we
failed
at everything else.
Jackass the restaurant. Yeah, I like
Jackass the restaurant. Yeah. It's a good direction for you to go, Applebee's. I'm glad somebody over there finally found an identity for you.
Tell you what I'm not a fan of.
Ruby Tuesdays?
Red Robin. Not for me.
Oh, no. Red Robin's terrible.
Ruby Tuesdays I like because I got a soft spot.
I don't think I've ever been to a Ruby Tuesdays.
I think I've only been to one, but Rich's, Maria's cousin Rich.
Yeah.
Longtime bartender at a Ruby Tuesdays.
Wow, I did not know that.
Which is just a cool thing to say.
Yeah, that gives them a little bit of credence.
Longtime bartender at the Ruby Tuesdays.
Red Robin, is there anywhere you could get a worse burger than Red Robin? All they do is burgers, and I think they have my least favorite chain restaurant burger.
Yeah, hello, start opening up Buttfuckers again.
There's nothing going on there.
Fuddruckers was way better.
It's different playing fields entirely. Fuddruckers is like, you know,
I don't understand
major
why they're going away.
Red Robin's fucking AAA ball over here. Disgusting.
One last thought on chain restaurants.
Uh-huh.
What could be the best chain restaurant? I'm assuming it's a chain.
Okay.
Lil Davey R. Scheister and I, many moons ago, took a road trip all the way out to Montana.
Wow.
And we stopped in a magical place somewhere close to Fargo, North Dakota.
Is that one, town's called Butt, I think.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to Butt?
But, no, we didn't. But we stopped at some place somewhere along those shitty northern states, and it was called, like, Alien Bar and Grill.
Okay.
And it was, like, a Chili's or an Applebee's,
like,
but with, like,
themed?
A space shuttle and alien theme.
Ooh, a little, like, a UFO hanging from the ceiling
when
you walk through the door and
yep.
stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
It was really, really weird. It might have been a fever dream.
I'm going to bing it.
I could have blacked out on the drive there, but... I want to know more.
This might be a new thing for us. We'll start reviewing obscure chain restaurants.
Ooh, road trips.
Like ones people have never heard of.
And wrestler.
Find some hidden gems.
Wrestler-owned restaurants.
Wrestler-owned restaurants.
We promised
a great
that
idea
too.
For an episode.
We did promise
I forgot that we had that idea.
We're going to have to do a couple of like Baby Oil and Blow specials where we take a road trip.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah, big things. The only thing I'm going to make you talk about in modern wrestling is that... Nikolai Volkov died, but
big time deaths.
He's
this
been
week.
Dead for forever, really.
Nikolai Volkov had no idea he was still alive.
Yeah.
Also,
and
what'd you say? He was 70?
He was 70, which
I literally
shocking.
Thought he was in his 50s in the 1980s,
yeah.
like late 50s when he was having that WWF run. I guess he was a young man. What?
Yeah, that's when you crazy were to when me. You were we talked about it yesterday and you were like, oh, I didn't even know he was still alive. And I was like, well, I assume he was like 88. And then I binged it, and they're like, he was 70.
And then, as we alluded to, also Grandmaster Sex A.
Yeah.
Brian, don't call me Lawler, Christopher.
Correct.
What, he hung himself in a jail cell? Is that the story we're getting?
Yeah, he was in there on a DUI, which, depending on where you are and how many you've had, you know, isn't a very high bond.
No, yeah. I
you know,
get a DUI every other week, practically.
You assume he's got a little bit of a record, but I'm assuming for like $500 he probably, maybe $750 he could have bonded out.
Guys, he had to have had some other stuff going on.
Where he couldn't put together $750.
Had to have some other stuff going on.
Had to hang himself
in
prison.
All the sleazy ways that wrestlers have died over the years. I gotta say, this is one of the sleaziest.
This is a really cool one.
Congratulations to him and his whole family, I guess.
Question to you. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, when it was reported that he was probably going to die, but he was still alive.
Oh, like he hung on a little bit after the hanging?
Yeah, because everybody was reporting he was dead, but I saw many reports. It was like, no, he's in a hospital, and
he might just be brain dead.
Well, according to the reports, he was at the hospital, and they were encouraging family to get there soon because it was just a matter of time. Okay. But he was still alive.
And then Jerry Lawler was like, Brian who? No,
I never heard of that guy.
No, I don't have any kids, though.
Oh, that guy that was in Too Cool?
I'm not even old enough to have kids. Oh, Look at me. I'm a young man.
The guy JBL put pencils in his butt? No, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, that was always... I wonder how much credence there is to that rumor that Brian Christopher was just going around with roofies in his bag all the time, date-raping girls.
Yeah.
So this multi-million dollar publicly traded corporation decided to handle this problem internally by having...
Kangaroo Court.
One employee anally violate the other employee, and then they were like, okay... That about evens it out.
Yep.
How many girls have we caught you raping? That's how many pencils I'm going to get in there.
Yep.
All right, even Steven. Glad we took care of that.
Were you there the night that Bradshaw tied Brian Christopher in the shower?
I was somewhere around there because I heard him calling. So
what are your memories of that?
Just hearing about it and everybody just laughing because I think we were doing something that I didn't get the whole gist of it.
Right.
But it was funny.
Sorry, Enzo Amore. You were just born a little too late, you know?
How has that company not been shut down?
Oh, that's a good question. Yesterday, though, when they were reporting that he was still alive, I wanted to put up on our Instagram... just like our thoughts and prayers go out to the Lawler family. Then for the picture, I was just going to put that poster with the cat that says, hang in there.
Okay, yeah, that's offensive. I was going to say, we're too drunk to be Instagramming. Yeah. You'd definitely do something that would have gotten our account pulled.
Yeah, like that's what I wanted to do, but I don't know. I managed to work through the booze and the cold medicine and was like, I don't think... This could be the one.
Yeah, people might take that the wrong way. Maybe I shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, well. You want to talk about wrestling?
Let's get into this rundown. 1980s wrestling. This week, the rundown brought to you by... what have I been enjoying this week?
Baker Square.
I've not been to a Baker Square in quite a long time, but last time I went, I got to tell you, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I always remember Baker Square being a delight when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not anymore, pal. No. So it's not brought to us by Baker Square.
No.
It's brought to you by Cracker Barrel, which is my breakfast chain restaurant spot of choice. I got to say,
and
if
Shoney's.
I'm looking at that and a Bob Evans and like a Baker Square and some sort of three-way battle, I'm going to Cracker Barrel every time, brother.
Yeah. You and Steiner.
Yeah. We love it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do a lunch there, too. You got some mashed potatoes, some mac and cheese, like chicken and dumplings.
Told you, not a fan of the menu.
Come on, a big ham steak? They got a little bit for everybody.
I don't care for ham.
Everybody likes a gigantic ham steak. They got that one big old billboard over there on the highway.
Yeah,
just
they sure do.
Big
sure
picture
do.
Of a ham steak every time I drive. That's a crazy order. I've never seen or heard of someone ordering a ham steak at a restaurant.
Yeah. Give me a thin piece of meat the size of this plate, damn it.
It's just a really bad order. I love Cracker Barrel, but if you're going there getting the ham steak, fucking check your neck.
Yeah.
So, World Championship Wrestling, March 19th, 1988. We're creeping ever so close to the big day at the end of March when we're going to get that dueling WrestleMania and Clash of the Champions. That's going to be... big, big episodes. I'm really starting to feel the burn happening now. We're getting so close. The tension's killing me.
Yeah.
First match, the Varsity Club. They're in there versus Keith Steinborn and Ryan Wagner. Match ends when Steiner dumps a dude on his head and then kind of plays with his tongue until he just says
that
he quits.
Weird, like, arm vine submission.
He was like, but he was barely even in it this week.
He was
even more so than the last week's. He's just... sort of hugged his arm a little bit and just like was poking at his nose and pulling at his tongue, telling him, quit, quit.
Ricky's just going out there for him.
I think he quit more because he wanted to get those chubby little sausage fingers out of his mouth. Okay, yeah. Man. Okay, yeah, I'm tapping.
Oh, and fun fact, Ryan Wagner, the jobber in this match, mm-hmm. father of Lucha Libre star Dr. Wagner.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a fun fact. Match number two, joined in progress. We get some footage of the Fantastics versus the Midnight Express. We got a big-time victory for these newcomers in the territory, the Fantastics. They beat the Rock and Roll Express with their own goddamn move, the Rocket Launcher. Jim Cornette is humiliated.
Bullshit.
Shane Douglas, he's back. No explanation as to show up for his TV title match last week. And he's just going to show up and wrestle again, and everybody's going to act like it's normal. Mm-hmm. He's in there versus Big Bear Collie. Douglas wins with that Magnum TA belle to belle.
Cool name, though, Big Bear Collie.
Big Bear Collie is one of my favorite ring names I've heard in a while. Sting is in there versus Joe Cruz. Match ends like it always ends with the splash into the Scorpion, but this one lasted for like 2 minutes instead of like 2 seconds. So
yeah,
the most of Sting we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Powers of Pain are in there with Max MacGyver and Bob Riddle mm-hmm. on the other side of the ring there. Barb wins with that diving headbutt, flying through the air, big old head,
big old tongue,
kill a man. Ron Simmons also killed a man. That man's name was Trent Knight.
Yep,
busted his ass all over the ring pillar to post.
Busted
ass. With that elevated spine buster he does, where he just murders people.
Yep,
straight up murder lights them. Speaking of murder lighting, the Road Warriors, they killed Steve Atkinson and El Negro. You guessed it, Doomsday Device.
I got every move in the match written down if you want to hear it.
It's probably quick enough. We could go through it.
I'll run down. Come to the ring.
Uh-huh.
Clubs before the music stop.
Sure.
Right?
Classic Road Warriors.
Big shoulder block.
Mm-hmm.
Big gut wrench suplex.
Ah, vintage.
Into a gorilla press.
There you go.
Into a, standing elbow drop. Into the Doomsday for the win.
Got a lot of air on that one. It's what they do. Mm-hmm. They run guys over. Lex Luger is in there with Andrew Bellamy. He
wrestled like a dickhead.
Wins it with the torture rack. Fun little fact. Andrew Bellamy, actually the father of former MTV VJ Bill Bellamy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking to myself.
Al Perez. He's another new face here in the territory.
He's a Latino heartthrob.
That's what people are telling me. He's in there versus Tony Suber. He wins it with a spinning toe hold. Pretty bland match.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, didn't make me an Al Perez fan for his first outing. Gonna need to see a little bit more out of you,
look
Al Perez.
Did, though, huh?
Great look.
He was handsome.
What a heartthrob.
He was a handsome man.
Finally, we've made it to the end. The end of the line. The Midnight Express versus Mike Jackson and Alan Martin. Eaton wins this one with a rocket launcher. There we have it. That wraps up the episode. And now we go into our five count. I know we're ready to do this because we both frantically went through our notes just a couple minutes ago trying to find things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like always, kind of a challenge.
And a bit of a mess.
What's your number one?
Shocker.
What's your number one?
We're going to talk about something I'm sure that we both want to talk about, but real quick, I just want to talk briefly about the Varsity Club match,
uh-huh.
because week after week, these guys are my favorite fucking thing to watch.
They're killing it.
I love
They're killing it.
Ricky Steiner. I love Mike
Such
Rotunda.
A weirdo. He's such a creep.
What's his face? Sullivan serves no purpose, but sometimes it's funny watching him react to the idiot show that's going on behind him.
He's the straight man.
I guess if he has any value, that's what it is.
The leprechaun-looking Satanist is somehow the straight man in this outfit.
Really, what's stealing the spotlight, though, is Rick's antics in the ring.
Every week, they're getting weirder and weirder.
He's just getting so weird, it's almost uncomfortable, but I think I still really love it.
Mm-hmm, back to the tongue play this week.
Yeah.
He didn't go for the dick play, thank God.
Yeah. But and you couple that with just watching that guy dump people, man. We talked about it 2 weeks ago.
He has no regard for the health of these poor jobbers.
He hurts people, and it's funny.
Breaking necks, giving people concussions.
After the match.
Yeah, after the match is the first thing I want to talk about.
They had their promo.
They took their goonery to a new level this week.
Their big fight this week.
About who's standing on which side of Kevin Sullivan.
Which side, right. Which escalated into Rotundo, eventually backing down and calling Rick Steiner Robbie.
Sure. To which Steiner replied, I can say your real name too, Lawrence.
Yeah.
These goons just saying their real names on TV. I don't think that was in the script. I don't think they were supposed to be.
Nope.
Robbie and Lawrence, the varsity club, pushing and shoving, calling each other out for using stage names on their TV show.
Feel like maybe they would have
breaking that kayfabe.
Maybe would have just been better not having last names and just being Robbie and Lawrence from the varsity club.
This is the best promo I've seen in a while. This is my promo of the night.
Like, you couldn't
Kevin
even...
Kevin Sullivan just doing his normal thing while these two idiots are...
Which just completely got derailed. Yeah, like, you couldn't hear what Sullivan was saying because they were full on yelling at each other about, I'm going to be on this side!
Yeah, I wasn't paying much attention, but I bet what he was doing was running down every single person on the roster and talking about how they were going to beat them in matches, because that's every single promo that they air on this show.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. So, Robbie and Lawrence... Way to make things fun.
Yeah, my number one, also Robbie and Lawrence and their grab-assery.
Yeah.
Great shit.
It's
highlight of the show, if you ask me.
Just reaching new levels. I don't know how this wasn't a bigger thing, these guys.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it develops.
Mm-hmm.
What's your number two?
The weird introduction to the Fantastics.
Okay. Yeah, after that amazing hype video we got last week
where
they just kept showing us the word Fantastics. The Fantastics are here. It turns out our guess was right.
Yeah.
They are a tag team of two wrestlers. They didn't tell us that last week.
No.
That information was left out. Thankfully, we were going into this with a little bit of our own information.
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
It was just weird, man. It was just weird. You give us these weird videos for 3-4 weeks just being like, Fantastics! Tag team wrestling!
Mm-hmm.
You like it?
Yep.
And then they cold open the show, just showing Midnight Express wrestling two jobbers. I don't know. These guys are getting a lot of offense in. Oh, one of the announcers just said they're the Fantastics. I guess these are those guys.
Yeah, that is
well, a
good point. They really did a piss poor job of establishing these dudes.
Clearly, it's just a tease. Like, oh, this must be them. They're really going to set this up later.
Mm-hmm.
And no, they didn't. They're just like... Here's a match joined in progress from a house show of the Fantastics and Midnight Express.
God damn, that crowd is hot for that match.
And like they
molten
open
crowd
right with like a Fantastics hot tag.
Mm-hmm.
That gets like cut off pretty quickly. But either way, it's like a hot tag. But like you don't necessarily know that you should care because you've never seen these guys before.
I gotta say, it's kind of interesting looking at the way they did this. It's either completely inept or... They're just really counting on the fact that, like, wrestling fans know these guys, and, like, it seems they just believe that, like, everybody who watches this show has also seen a lot of Mid-South, and, like...
Maybe it's a little of that.
Because that's another thing, like, it doesn't matter how fucking famous a dude was before he goes into the WWF, Vince is gonna treat him like you've never seen him before, and totally introduce you who he is. Because he knows that at least some portion of the audience are seeing them for the first time.
Right.
And that's how you got to treat these things.
It's called doing business.
WCW, nah, they seem to just be thinking to themselves, like, oh, no, everybody Mid-South gets huge ratings back when it was a thing. I'm sure everybody's seen these guys. Everybody's looking forward to this.
Was this maybe the start of, we know who that is, but what is he doing here?
Oh, wow. Don Weston and Mike Tenay watching a lot of tape, old acts coming into... Jim Crockett Promotions in the late 80s, as they based their whole commentary style on it.
You know what? This is what we've all been waiting for, Don. Remember what Sting said. Kurt Angle, yes, you have worked with this individual in the past. Yes, you have rubbed him the wrong way. We're about to find out who that mystery partner is. 40 world championships between these four competitors. It's time to answer the mystery and reveal who the partner is that Sting has handpicked.
The anticipation level is off the charts. Everybody standing to attention. All waiting to find out Who could it be?
Everyone standing here at Genesis in anticipation of, yes, revealing who Sting's mystery partner is. What an incredible moment this is. This is what we have been waiting for weeks, Don, to find out who it is that Sting is bringing here to TNA.
I can't wait any longer, and you can just feel the electricity. You can feel it.
Can you dig it? Sunger!
Yeah! You heard him! It's Booker T!
But they show you like half of this match, and like you said, the crowd's hot.
Oh,
it's
man.
Good back yeah. and forth action. Like, these teams mesh well. Like, yeah, they gave you reason to care, and it's like, oh yeah, I do want to see this feud. I'm just a little confused as to why this is our introduction to this team.
Yeah, if you're bringing the Fantastics to feud with the Midnights, that's great. It's worked somewhere else before. Do it.
Yeah.
But have them wrestle a few other jobber teams to establish who they are and establish what their moves are before you throw them in there against that big team you want them to feud with.
Make a little money building up the feud yourself.
Makes
don't
no
just
sense.
Like
just makes no goddamn sense.
It's like if you're watching porn and you're just going right for the big money shots at the end.
Oh yeah, those compilation videos that are all just money shots.
Yeah,
that's weird to me.
That's
who
like
watches
this,
that.
It's like what this match was. It was the money shot. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, well, hold on. Like, how'd we get here? Like,
if you're out there watching just cum shot compilations, you make me uncomfortable, and I think you'd be a terrible wrestling booker.
And we talked.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah, and we talked about watching Japanese girls poop on camera last week.
Well,
so what's that say about you?
That's pretty mainstream. Everybody's into that.
Yeah, right. I know. They're the freaks.
My number two, I think I'm going to talk about Shane Douglas being back inexplicably.
Yeah.
And how much I like that Big Bear Collie match of his. Because it was, it was a nice little guy they're pushing, squashing a jobber and getting a solid win like the show just is over and over again, but it was a lot better than all those other ones. It made more sense, and you get Douglas beating a big guy, so he's looking good. He's
he can
like,
beat anybody.
The match was cool because old Big Bear kept using his strength to try and get one over on Douglas, but every single time he couldn't do it because Douglas was so much a better wrestler than him that
just
he could counter everything.
Sound technician.
Had a counter for everything, broke this down methodically, this man down, and just really put over, wow, this kid knows what he's doing.
He's got a future.
He's super trained. That's what I want in my jobbers. I want them to look big and gruff and imposing and just have them not be as good wrestlers
as
the guys who
are
getting pushed.
He's so powerful.
What I don't want is jobbers that look like fucking Max MacGyver, just like a doughy nerd who looks like a substitute teacher.
Right.
Beating him is doing nothing for nobody. You might as well not have him on your goddamn show.
Oh, check out.
I like this Douglas match. But why is he back?
Check out Sting wrestling the shop teacher this week on WCW.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no one wants to
just
see that
on
shit.
Visuals alone. Yeah. You know Sting's going to destroy this guy. It serves no purpose. Somebody could have at least asked Douglas why he didn't show up for a TV title match. They could have addressed it in just some way.
Do you think was the most satisfying part?
This TV show is so damn weird, man.
Like, they announced when they went to commercial, like, when we come back, Shane Douglas. Mm-hmm. And I know you heard him say that, and I know at that same exact moment you thought, bet they're not going to mention him not being here last week.
There was no question in my brain. Like, as soon as they were like, Shane Douglas fighting, I'm just like, well, nobody's mentioning that TV title match.
We're not going to talk about
it. It's not going to get addressed. That's just going to be a random side storyline that amounted to nothing. Getting completely shoved under the rug.
Which is a WWE move, actually.
This TV show's a mess.
Oh, boy. What are we on? Three?
Yeah.
I got a three.
We're getting into three.
Yeah, okay. I got a three. We're going to go.
Oh, I got a motherfucking three.
Got a motherfucking three. We're going to go way ahead to the Powers of Pain versus Max MacGyver and Bob Riddle match.
Speaking of Max MacGyver.
My point here would be more so a plea as opposed to a point.
Okay.
And that's
You hearing us, 1988 WCW office people?
Stop it with the mic managers.
Oh, yeah, there was quite a lot of jabberjawing going on in this one.
They're clearly not wearing a wire.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a mic.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know what the commentators are saying.
Yeah, true.
So they're just yelling in the middle of the commentators. Mm-hmm. And then it basically just turned into Paul Jones. Not saying a lot, but still just holding Tony Schiavone and JR hostage and to the point where you could hear him being like, well, I don't want to say anything because he's just going to
sit this one out so we don't have three guys talking over each other.
Yeah.
And the first time they did it, J.J. Dillon could cut a promo, but didn't do so well during being mic'd during the match. This time it's like, oh, that didn't work out. I know who could get it over, though. Paul Jones, the manager on our roster who's the worst talker out of all of them.
Yeah.
What do you think? Dumb idea. Once again, they do their post-match promo.
Where he talks about Bob
Wire. He's doing all the talking. One of my notes, I did it during the Legion of Doom interview, though, was how many times is a grown man going to say the word Bob Wire on this episode of wrestling television? Everybody's saying Bob Wire. But yeah.
Fucking
Ivan Koloff, they got him stuck with the powers of pain. I've made the point before, but it deserves repeating. He cuts a way better promo than Paul Jones, so just have him be the manager slash wrestler guy for their three-man team.
What's my note
Get
say right
there?
Get rid
of Paul Jones.
What's my
How
note?
Does the Russian have a better grasp of the English language? Question mark.
Yes.
That's a good damn point. Get rid of Paul Jones. Shit can this guy. Just have Koloff do the talking for these big, burly, jacked-up, fucking mongoloid-looking dudes.
The no explanation needed.
No explanation.
Yeah.
They got so many other managers, too. They don't need them. They got fucking Gary Hart coming in now. That guy's a great promo. Jim Cornette, great fucking promo. You need, like, wrestlers who can't talk for themselves. You got guys who can do it. Why do you have so many managers on your roster, and why are you going to waste a spot on a guy who can't cut a fucking promo when and cutting a promo is all the managers got to do?
And we like managers.
Oh, I love managers.
We love managers.
The guy's got to fucking talk, though. That's all. Unless you're Fuji. Fuji got by without talking, but he was evil and foreign. You know?
Yeah.
You just look at him.
Through that.
Look at his shifty eyes.
Through
He's got
salt.
Something up his sleeve. I
through
know it.
Salt in the people's eyes. That was awesome.
It was pretty cool.
I was doing that to my brothers at McDonald's for years.
Mm-hmm.
Taking those salt packets or those pepper packets.
Fuji.
Yeah. Mr. Fuji. Which is, you know, looking back on it, it's just an awful thing to do to a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, if you're listening, I apologize. I apologize for Matt.
I'm just saying it was an awful thing to do. You got a three?
My three. Dusty Rhodes cut a promo.
Yeah,
he
did.
I just wanted to point out. For some reason this week, Dusty Rhodes was dressed like he runs a pawn shop.
Yeah, he did look like Pawn Stars.
It was totally weird. Just like Dusty Rhodes usually coming out, just baller as hell, got some sort of big idea going on, whether he's going for the cowboy look or whether he's going for like the 70s street pimp look or something. He's always got a look. Now he just looked like a weird old man sitting behind the register at a pawn shop.
Yeah.
Just like the sort of like dark tinted like cocaine glasses, just like a satin jacket, big gold watch.
Yeah.
He looked Dusty Rhodes. I was digging it.
I could see somebody coming in and being like, this is my great grandmother's wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Ottoman Empire.
I'm not going to be able to go above 45
heirloom.
On this. Yeah.
You know, it was actually held by royalty.
Maybe I could do 47.
I've had it appraised like multiple times for like $250,000. And then like Dusty's just like, I tell you right now, Daddy, bottom line, I'm at 750. Take it or leave it.
It's a shame that they didn't give Dusty some sort of... The show sounds great to me. I'd watch this.
Yeah.
I see people watching those Pawn Star shows or whatever, and I'm just like, how could anybody watch this?
Watching...
Yeah, Dusty in there?
Yeah.
Rapping people, telling them why all their shit's only worth like a little handful of nickels? That'd be good stuff. It's too bad he died before we came up with this idea.
He could be telling people all the time how he's dying with kings. Had sex with pigs.
That's a great line. Whatever. Is that one of his go-tos? Sex with pigs?
Yeah, I've dined with kings and had sex with swine, whatever he always says.
What a promo that guy was.
Now let's go to Dusty Rhodes, Americana.
Well, I'm the pizza man. I can do it when you can, because I'm the ever-loving Americana pizza man. Yeah, I love this job. I'm telling you that, brother. Woo, let's see what we got. This the house. Yeah, it is. Wow. All right, pizza, pizza, pizza. I'm the pizza man. Oh, yeah, let me see here. Let me see now. We got that, that sardine pizza. That's that old Mountain Oscar pizza. And then, my favorite pizza of all, pig feet pizza with a little bit of snout on the side. Woo! I'm the pizza man. I'm the pizza man. Yeah, ding dong. Americana pizza. Boy, look at this. Woo, hi, oh, pretty lady. Americana pizza man. For you.
Yes, I ma'am. I hope you have my sardine pizza.
I got your sardine. I got
my
it right
mom
there.
Mom grown oyster pizza?
Your mom grown oyster pizza, but I got something for you. I can tell you ordered this pig feet pizza.
Oh, yes.
A little extra snout on the side. Woo hoo.
Oh, my
there you go, darling.
Why don't you try some? It's my favorite.
Can I try
you'll
some?
You'll love it.
Oh,
you'll
all
love
right.
It.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Two pieces.
Ooh.
That's good for your tummy, and it's yummy, yummy, yummy.
About his little promo,
mm-hmm.
I just want to run it down real quick because I did take notes
okay.
on it. It goes, talking tag tournament.
Yep.
Talking barbed wire and road warriors.
All that stuff's still coming up.
Talking a lady walking up to it. Wait, what did I say? Oh, yeah. Talking a lady walking up to the barbed wire and him being able to see New York City.
He got real abstract with what he was talking
yeah.
about there. I couldn't suss it out. He
and
was
then,
talking circles around my head. I had smoke coming out of my ears.
And then talking that the Powers of Pain ain't wearing no pantyhose. So if they walk up to
true.
It, you're going to hear it go, ping pong.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, just gibberish. He's just
yeah.
saying gibberish. And, of course, you got good old Davy Crockett standing next
yeah.
to him, just loving everything, just popping big for every line. Like, A, it makes sense, and B,
yeah.
it's just, like, the most clever fucking
yeah.
punchline he's ever heard anybody come up
you
with.
You ain't wearing any pantyhose, so if you go up there, you're going to hear a ping pong.
Any self-respecting, you know, interviewer standing next to this guy, they're going to be rolling their eyes, they're going to be shaking their head, they're going to be divorcing themselves from this dusty promo, like, out of this guy's on drugs,
yeah.
I don't know what he's saying.
And from there, he ends it with...
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
From there, he ends it with, it's been about a year since I've shown off my million-dollar smile,
mm-hmm.
so here it is, my million-dollar smile. How about that, Michael Jordan?
Yeah, he looked into the camera... Opened his mouth, not really a smile, just more a slack-jawed expression.
Yeah.
And called out Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I don't
big
know.
Big finish. I guess they got MJ coming in for a program.
Turns out WCW is trying to get basketball players in their fold for, like, ever.
Eventually they got that Karl Malone, Dennis Rodman jackpot. You just
oh,
got to keep
yeah.
plugging away at it.
Hell
and eventually
yeah.
you will live your dreams.
Hell yeah. I got a number 4.
Okay, cool.
And that goes to...
My points are starting to get real small.
Repetition.
Uh-huh.
We talk about it all the time.
It's important for training like circus animals.
Yeah. About their awful use of repetition.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it can get tedious.
They just talk about things over and over again. They talk about every show. They talk about every house show. They talk about every upcoming
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks about the things the same way, though. Some people say in a few weeks. Some people give the exact date. Somebody say next Saturday. Somebody says the name of the event. Somebody just says the name of the city.
There you
so
go.
You can never tell... Who's referring to what event, and if it's the same thing, and that's why it gets so muddied, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But this week,
mm-hmm.
really bad with the repetition in terms of not only do you see everybody come out and talk about the same thing,
preach.
We had people coming out twice
church.
To talk about the same thing.
This was going to be my number 5 here.
Well, we can get back to
yes.
it because I know where you're going
uh-huh.
with it, and we can hold on to
okay.
that, but we're setting it up. The repetition was tedious this week.
Oh, God, so bad.
You can point out a quick fourth point, and then
my
I think we're going to get back to
it. Another quick one, like Dusty's outfit, talking about that LOD promo where they're talking about the Bob Wire. I wrote down in my notes here, Jesus Christ, did Hawk shave his head with a hatchet?
Yeah.
It's mangled.
Oh, my God.
Just like
he
patches
like-
of hair he missed, just like cuts and sores everywhere. It was rough looking this week.
He looked like Bugs Bunny got the best of him, and like in Elmer Fudd fashion,
yeah.
he stuck his head in like a hole and like took some kind of buckshot to the
there
top of
go.
His head.
A lawnmower to his fucking head.
Yeah.
Some sort of crazy thing happened to him in a cartoonish manner.
Right.
Leaving him just looking like, God, he looked like he got scalped by a goddamn Indian.
It was.
Not a good job with the self-maintenance this week, Hawk.
It was frightening.
This is why you don't shave your mohawk. When you're high on cocaine,
right.
everybody.
Shave, then do cocaine.
A million times. Don't shave your mohawk
yeah.
when you're high on cocaine.
You do the cocaine afterwards to celebrate how sweet your mohawk looks. Adoy.
That's my everyday.
Right.
So then, yeah.
Let's just get to the big finish here.
Into the big finish.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to talk about with all of it because there was some good and some bad.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed whatchamacallit, the Midnighters here coming out and Midnight showing some Express. Fire off of a loss.
Yeah, it's real good when people act like getting beat pisses them off and like it means something and they don't want to lose again. It makes your wrestling seem important.
Right.
Great job there.
I want to point out what. If it is not next week's Spam Slam of the Week.
Oh, I love that Hormel's getting some FaceTime on this product.
If we're...
Spam and wrestling fans? That had to be a match made in heaven. I bet they were pushing all sorts of spam.
Oh, hell yeah. In the South? If this is not the Spam Slam of the week next week, just throw the whole thing out.
Sure.
Because it's got to be Jim Cornette's big scoop slam on old Mike Jackson.
It was a beautiful thing, topped only by, during the big fracas, Jim Cornette dragging Teddy Long across the floor by 1 foot while Teddy Long's screaming.
Yeah.
Shit was gold.
Yeah. Right after the big scoop slam, Jim Cornette gets back on the mic and starts screaming, and his voice was like up 5 octaves.
Hell yeah,
from
it was.
Producing that big slam. I don't even know what he said. He was just like, "Wah!"
Yeah, so basically what we're talking about here, I guess we should be more clear about it. Midnight Express has a tag match as our main event, draws the Fantastics out when they start beating on these jobbers. It all ends in like this Pier 6 KD bar the door, 4-way, 5-way, because Cornette's in there hitting people tennis rackets too. Brawl. Show closes out in a fun way, maybe for the first time ever, with a huge crazy brawl. They're tearing the whole studio apart.
Right.
But.
They set it up wrong.
But. I hate when they have 2 matches from the same guys on 1 episode. You're going to have somebody wrestling twice, sure. Make it the Midnight. It's going to be great. But, God, it makes these shows feel endless when you've already seen a guy wrestle and then you see him wrestle again. It feels like you're in a goddamn time loop. It feels like it's never going to end. This episode felt 10 fucking hours long.
Correct.
Once I started seeing this second Midnight, and then the Fantastics come out to cut a promo, and it's the second fucking Fantastic studio promo.
Right.
And they say nearly as like identically what they said the first time they brought them out in the same studio to cut a promo in front of these
Just to bait the Midnights to come back out, even though they were
the brawl
just out
was awesome.
Right before the commercial.
I loved it. The match was great.
Set it up right,
but yeah,
man.
Come on. I felt like I was in fucking Groundhog's Day. I felt like I was losing my mind seeing the same shit happen over and over again.
All right. We can argue the fact that the Midnights are wrestling again on the show, even though the one was taped and whatever, but you're getting 2 Midnights matches. Okay. I can get past that because I know WCW's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of having them cut a promo right away, just have them approach the promo area and be like, when we come back, the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette have their thoughts for you.
And boy, does Jim Cornette have some thoughts.
They come back from commercial, have those guys come, you know, talking about whatever, and then just have the Fantastics come out and be like, hey, you think we cheated?
Yeah.
Let's settle this all right here. Mm-hmm. We're men of, you know, valor and, you know, honor. Like, we'll settle this right now. You can do that. You can have them, you know.
It also gets down that rid of that other problem we always have where these guys are in a fucking 20-foot by 20-foot TV studio.
And acting
and
like they're
so
hear
mad
what's
at each other, but they're acting like they can't just come out and fight the guy who's
cutting
down.
Right.
Makes no sense.
You don't have to get rid of the Midnights, reestablish a shot with the Fantastics talking. And another thing about repetition, why the fuck are the Fantastics wearing vests and bow ties?
I mean, that's their
everybody
thing,
was
man.
Wearing that, man.
They come out to Sharp Dressed Man and they wear those sharp vests and bow ties.
Jive Tones wear that.
It's
like
such.
Everybody wears vests
goes
and bow
back
ties.
To that, you know, that truth. That truth that 1980s wrestling promoters thought men in sleeveless tuxedos and bow ties was the way you be sexy. Like, if I'm trying to put over that these guys are sexy, gotta get them in some sleeveless tuxedo tops and bow ties. That's what the ladies like.
It's like the Chippendale dancers.
But yeah.
Some of those great classic Fantastics
promos where they're all doing like all that gay shit and like riding horses together or whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And you got ZZ Top playing, Play some of those on your TV to let people know who these guys are. Instead, you're just showing the word Fantastics and having a voiceover thing going, Fantastics. That's getting nobody over.
Fantastics.
I got no idea who these guys are.
Tag Team Wrestling.
I do know that I didn't need to hear the same promo from them twice.
No.
And I didn't need to see the Midnight Express wrestle twice. You have the Midnight Express get beat by the Fantastics this week, if that's what you're doing. And then next week, you have the Midnights come out fired up and win their big match because they're pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all weird. It was really weird. It was a great brawl, though. Great brawl.
Great brawl. Great way to end the episode.
Looks like it's going to be fun.
WCW is a real mixed bag.
Almost made me excited to watch a program that they have in their company.
I'm getting there. This Clash of the Champions, it's going to be great. It's going to be a whole episode.
It's going to be a
of matches that aren't all 20-second squashes.
It's going to be a... This is going to...
We might have to do like a six count that episode. There's going to be so much to talk about.
Oh, wow. I'm going to give that a Dave Crockett. Oh, wow. What do we got after these commercial breaks?
Going to come back with a three count.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
There's something great at Chili's, and I love it.
I love my baby back ribs. They're here at Chili's. Now I wouldn't fib. You get a big serving, a full luscious rack.
Baby back ribs at Chili's. We smoke them, char broil them in our own sauce, and you're gonna love them right down to the bone.
I love my baby, baby, baby back ribs. Oh, yeah.
Get ready for the three count. Get ready for the three count.
Getting ready right now. Clearing my throat a little bit. Man, sniffing some of these boogers back in my nose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming on.
Yeah, that cocaine's really helping the sinus passages open up.
I'm going to be real whiny a couple days from now. I can feel it. And the sickness gets in full effect.
Oh,
it's really just taking me out. I'm gonna be working in a kitchen.
Jesus, God,
just
no.
Like, just a big crybaby.
Just, you guys are always boiling spaghetti.
That's true.
Just hang your sick head over the open pot of boiling spaghetti. Oh,
I'm not so sure. That's a great idea, sanitation-wise, but I don't know, it'd probably be nice.
Well, I didn't say blow your nose in it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's just common sense, dum-dum.
It's making massive amounts of spaghetti. It's a sweet little day at the spa, really, if you got the right attitude
making
about
some
it.
Spaghetti.
You get a lot of steam going up. You get those pores
with my
open. Get a nice sweat on.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to explain this to all the people that work for me. They don't see it the same way I do.
Yeah, it's all high school girls. They're into that shit.
That's what I'm trying to sell them. Yeah. But no, they're not going for it.
Becca, with your shitty blackhead riddled nose, I think you might want to get over.
Come on, Becca.
That pot of pasta.
Jeez, prom's coming up.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
You look like an asshole.
Look at yourself.
You look like an asshole. Will you tell one of the high school girls that before a dance?
I've probably done it before.
Just tell them they look like an asshole. I'm
certain that I've done it before.
Get your shit together, Doug. You look like an asshole.
It's important to
homecoming's
shoot.
Next week.
If you're not shooting straight with these kids, they won't respect you. They'll eat you alive, man.
August, it's almost August now. Homecoming is coming up.
Oh, is that what's...
I think that's always September or something.
Okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. There's going to be Friday Night Lights going on again.
Oh,
high school football.
Boy.
It's, I don't care. Around here where we live, that's a big damn deal, man.
Northwest Indiana loves it, and I just don't understand.
Yeah, you get the boys out there. They're all full of vim and vigor. They're tossing the pigskin around. Maybe, get yourself a popcorn or something.
Sauce
Nothing
salad
better.
And scrambled eggs.
Nothing better.
You listen to me. You listen to me closer than you've ever listened to me before.
Listen to yourself.
You got heart, charisma, and a lot of skill.
You should feel real proud.
I believe you can do anything you put your mind to.
You can't beat yourself up because you're taking chances on things.
Every man at some point in his life is going to lose a battle.
You're dealing with it.
You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're being a man about it. This is all yours for the take. It depends on how much you want it.
You've earned this, the right to win. You put that in your head. It's time for you to give the best you got.
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something.
There's a joy to this game, is there not?
Yes, sir.
This is a game we are going to win.
This is the game that people are going to talk about for years to come. And I'm asking you right here, right now, right now. Right here.
Right now.
Right here.
This is it, right here, right now.
You got a job to do. Nothing else. This is within your reach.
And I can promise you I won't stop until you get there.
You deserve this, you understand?
Do your best. Let me just ask you one question. Can you play like champions? How much are you willing to sacrifice yourselves out in this field?
Because I promise you, they're going to come at you with everything they've got.
And this is our time. This is your time. I want you to know I'm proud to take the field with you.
I have never been more proud of a team than I am right now. You be proud of yourselves, because gentlemen, you are champions.
Take that with you, carry it, and we're gonna build on it. Let's go get them.
They're done.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Clear eyes, full hearts. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go, baby.
I tell you, if I had Friday nights off, I'd probably start going to high school football games. It's just like a thing I do.
Yeah, there's shootings there now. I'm not going.
Took that trip to the Little League field a couple weeks ago. And it was a delight.
Yeah.
It was a delight.
We're reaching the twilight of summer. We got to get to a couple games.
Yeah, time's running out.
Before it's too late.
Establish ourselves as the weird old guys who cheer for random little kids who don't know who we are.
There's a rumor of, I think over in Linwood, there's a baseball, like Little League baseball park that sells beer.
Oh, that is the greatest idea I've ever heard.
We should probably look into that.
We're always dragging our coolers there like idiots. If we could just be like buying it when we get there, I'd be... I'd get one of those school pizzas, get a brew dog, sit down and watch a game.
Yeah.
Now you're living, brother. L-I-V-I-N.
I'm not against supporting local commerce. I'll pay you for my beer.
I like putting some money back into the community.
It's for the kids, man. They got a program to keep them off the street. Love that shit. Love all that shit.
That's going to be my second biography.
Cut off at the Little League field.
This is the one I write about my twilight years.
Oh, boy.
So, came up with an idea for a three count. Every week, we're coming up with ideas for these things.
Because we're required to.
Everybody knows, wants to know. There were a couple of guys who appreciate the heels when it comes to pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Even as kids, we like the bad guys. But there's different kinds of heels out there. You got like a big monster heel. He's scary. He's crushing everybody. You get like...
Crush him!
Fucking cool heel like Ric Flair. Like, yeah, he was a dickhead and he was evil, but nobody really hated Ric Flair.
Crush him!
Ric Flair was real awesome. Like, fucking, he's cool. Like, Randy Savage, he was a heel, but he was just like out of control and awesome. You couldn't help but love him.
Also crush him!
What I want to celebrate this week is the heels that you don't like. The heels that aren't cool. The heels that aren't big monsters that crush people. I'm talking about those obnoxious heels that annoyed the piss out of you. Especially as a little kid. They just annoy you. And you get this guy off my TV. I hate it when this guy's on here.
Yeah.
Talking top three most obnoxious heels of the 1980s. Pro wrestling. I got a list, but it's in my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to wing it.
I got a list. And it's on this pace up. Phone.
Okay, good.
Piece of paper phone.
Hopefully you're keeping us structured here. You're going to keep us going on a straight and narrow. Get us started with your number three right after you're done dying.
Yeah. So we touched on it a little bit earlier, and you said there's a level to being obnoxious, and you can have different kinds of obnoxious.
Yeah.
And,
it's like being asked to leave Applebee's obnoxious, and then there's like being asked to leave a Bulls game obnoxious. Different levels, man.
Correct. So I got to give it to a team we talked about earlier, but mostly because of one man's antics in general. I'm going with the Varsity Club. And I'm going with Ricky Steiner in specific.
Rick Steiner is pretty fucking obnoxious.
I... put him on there. I like him. I love him. I love what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But he's weird.
So many years of just watching him and his brother as a good guy tag team. It's refreshing watching this old stuff of him being a just fucking goofy heel.
Here's the weird obnoxious he is. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me, and everybody had him in their class, the weird kid.
Not I hate cool the weird kid.
Not funny weird, but like, don't want to sit next to you.
Yeah.
Don't want to hang out with
Jason
you.
Jason Schilling.
Billy Johnson for me.
Oh, okay. Get those two together. See who could out weird each other. That'd be a real nightmare.
Every week, every day, we would get, Catholic school, so we didn't get hot lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You had to bring your own food.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. But they
Catholics didn't eat hot food.
But they provided you with milk every day, right? Oh,
thanks a pantload, Jesus.
So everybody got like the regular milk, and then Billy Johnson always got the red carton of milk.
What
which
the
is
fuck's
like
the red one?
I don't know if it was like whole or it wasn't whole, but or skim. It was like skim or something.
Just
like,
drinking heavy whipping cream?
Everybody else got like 2% milk like normal kids
there you
do.
Go. That's and what kids drink.
He got like skim or something weird, and
Jesus
like
Christ.
So he was already
what
weird because he was getting the
Billy
different
Johnson?
Carton of milk that his parents wanted him to have, and then it never failed. Every day at lunch, he didn't drink the milk. Why? Because his parents packed him that can of Mellow Yellow, right?
Huh.
And that
hell yeah, now we're talking.
Cantina soup. Oh, and mind you, there was no refrigeration for our sack lunches.
Absolutely.
So
that's
it was just
the
a
great
warm
thing about
can of
school
Mellow
lunches.
Yellow.
You're sitting in your backpack in your locker
right.
all day until you eat them.
So this kid's working on a Cantina soup.
I gotta tell you,
and a
the
warm
thermos
Mellow Yellow
soup kids
yeah.
were always the weird kids.
This was him.
Soup does not travel well. I don't care if you got it in a thermos. It's not easy to eat as a lunch. Bring me foods I can hold with my hands.
Here's the kicker, Nate. Billy Johnson would never, ever eat that soup. He'd just take that carton of skim milk, pour it into the Cantina soup, mix it up, and then assure us he goes home and feeds it to his dog every day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Rick Steiner, you are Billy Johnson beyond Billy Johnson.
I'm picturing it now. I'm just picturing him as a little kid still
wearing
with that mustache.
Yeah, and that headgear.
Wearing headgear.
Just, mixing his soup and milk, feeding it to his dog.
I tell you, Jason.
Mike Rotundo being like, why are you mixing it? And him being like, I'm feeding it to my dog, Lawrence.
Jason Schilling was so annoying. Our third grade teacher, Mrs. Ludke, would look the other way when we'd hit him. It was just,
it was
understood that you could just hit him because he'd be so obnoxious
right.
that like it would constantly just get in the way of her teaching. Like he'd raise his hand. She'd be like, ah, Jason, what is it this time?
Right.
If he said something stupid, you could hit him.
Art.
I got to tell you, that's the year he showed up too. After, 2 years of everybody knowing he was Jason Schilling. And he started saying, all right, everybody, from now on, I got a new nickname,
this
Rocky. Everybody call me Rocky from now on.
This is amazing.
And we're like, well, that's not your name. Your name's Jason. He's like, no, my family's calling me Rocky. And it was like, sorry, dude, you've got like negative fucking clout in this school. Like, you would have to be the coolest fucking dude in this goddamn class. I don't know. It was probably like Jeff Kinesic in third grade, I imagine. He was really good at basketball. I don't. Jeff Kinesic shows up wanting us to call him Rocky.
Yeah, you're
it's
gonna.
Probably not happening.
Yeah.
It's definitely not happening with you, kid.
Kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
Our teacher, Mrs. Hughes, nicest teacher in the world.
Sure.
Never yelled at anybody. She's calling on Billy one day. She's like, Billy, no answer. Billy, no answer. Billy, still no selling. Finally, she's like, Billy, a little louder. He's like, I don't want to be Billy anymore. From now, I want you to call me Billy Bob. And Mrs. Hughes, who never
it's
yelled at anyone,
solid.
Says through clenched teeth, okay, Billy Bob. And it was like, wow.
She went along with it, huh?
She got mad. Like, he successfully made the nicest woman ever mad.
Yeah.
Why are they changing their names?
I don't
what
know.
Is about these
I had
kids?
A whole year of college where, because I had this one teacher for first semester English class, and then had her again the next semester for a different class. First day of that first class, when she was asking everybody what they go by, I told her my nickname was Sparky. That chick called me Sparky for an entire year.
Quality broad.
It was great.
Quality broad. College, you can do that stuff. But
really?
Grade school, when everybody knows who the fuck you are because you're in the same class every year?
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that shit.
College is great. I was reinventing myself right and left.
Yeah.
Those people just thought that I was known as Sparky. They were none the wiser.
Yeah. Old Nate Spark.
Joke's
Plug
on you.
Thurman Holly. So that's my first level of obnoxiousness.
About? Oh, okay. Yeah. As I looked down for my notes for the next thing and remembered I didn't have notes this week. My number three.
Okay.
Is going to be also a man we saw on this episode today. Just being obnoxious. Kind of an obvious pick here, but obvious for a reason. You're talking obnoxious. You can't leave Jim Cornette off your list, man.
Because
there's probably no bigger motor mouth in the history of professional wrestling. Yeah. Not only is Jim Cornette loud and shrill, Jim Cornette never stops talking. And I'm not talking about like Lex Luger never stops talking where he's another thing. And then he just like, I'm saying this guy is just like a continual factory of just like interesting, fun, new, obnoxious shit to say.
Right.
New ways to be annoying. New ways to get under your skin. Probably the greatest talker of all time. And he just looks like a moron.
Correct.
He's fucking, who's that weird kid in your class? If he wore glasses, I guarantee you he's wearing those fucking weird glasses like Jim Cornette wearing.
Yeah.
Those just like Kmart fucking budget glasses that he still wears to this goddamn day. All those obnoxious colors in his suit combinations. Just looks like an idiot. You look at that guy, you hate
his
him.
Teeth look dumb.
When I was a kid, I hated him because I thought he was like real low rent.
Right.
I was like, this guy's trying to be fucking rich and he's not even good at it. He just looks like some dumb Hicks idea of what a rich guy is. And I was an adult. I'm not annoyed by it because I appreciate it.
Right.
Because I get that that's his character.
Correct.
He's playing a dumb hick who's trying to pretend like he's a rich guy.
And yeah.
He's great.
He's
it's
great
good
at
shit.
It.
But man, when I was a kid, I hated that motherfucker. Hated the sound of his voice. Hated the look of
right.
his dumb face.
All of it.
Hated his stupid glasses, that same glasses that Tim Koss would wear, the kid who ate his boogers in second grade.
Eating spaz. But he ate glue
literally
too.
A booger-eating spaz. This kid would eat his own fucking boogers, man.
Jesus.
He's a stepbrother of Bo Milby.
See another one. That's a cool
Bo
name.
Milby was a whole other story.
That's
it was
a
like
cool
a whole
name,
family
though.
Of adopted kids and stuff, so they had a lot of shit going on.
It's a pretty cool, like, I could
they
see,
had,
like
their own varsity club, basically, this family of just weird adopted kids.
I could see, like, some kind of, like, Americana movie that like people kind of hold in the high regard, but like it's probably not really that good. And like Kevin Costner's in it and he plays a guy named Bo Milby.
I love a Kevin Costner,
you know what I'm saying? Like I could see that movie. Like what was that film where
definitely
Kevin Costner
like
was character. That like a that Bo Milby what was
oh,
the name
yeah,
of that
that's
one? Like,
when he's that tin cup, he's that golfer Bo Milby.
Yeah, some famous, yeah, there you go, anything like that,
famous self-destructive golfer. So that was my number three.
Yeah, Cornette, like even in the 90s, there was like some points like where he was like kind of a good guy authority figure that like brought him back.
I don't
sometimes.
Care for that, I'll tell you that
and
much.
I could still even remember as a kid, like even if he wasn't being presented as a huge heel, I was still just like, I hate this guy.
Yeah, nothing to like
I
about him.
I hate him. Speaking of hating people as a kid, sometimes all it takes to be obnoxious is to be cool, cocky, and bad, you know?
Yeah, I'm cool, cocky, and bad. You're saying I'm obnoxious? That doesn't sound... math's not adding up
I don't
there.
Think you are, and I'm those things too, and some people think I am. I don't... doesn't make sense to me.
Obnoxious is in the eye of the beholder.
But some people are so obnoxious that you want nothing more to see them get beat.
Yeah.
And that's the honky-tonk man.
That's a solid pick. That guy... real fucking goober.
Yeah. Again, I can look back at it now with those rose-tinted glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, I want to see that guy strangulated.
Absolutely. Wiggling his hips.
Yeah.
He's like a little kid.
Why does he look like Elvis? That's
yeah,
dumb.
You only have like a vague idea of what Elvis is, really.
Yeah.
And you're just like...
You know it's a thing.
It's like, people liked Elvis. Why is this guy being Elvis?
Yeah.
People should like him if he's being Elvis. I'm confused.
But they don't. He's dead. I don't get it.
Yeah, he's just a chubby, weird guy.
This guy looks stupid.
Trying to act cool in like one of the worst ways.
He doesn't even do a very good Elvis.
Yeah, it's like Elvis was from decades ago, man. You're out of touch. You're trying to be cool and you're bad at it. I hate you.
I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening. Why is this happening?
It's a solid thing to do if you're going to be an obnoxious heel is to sing your own theme music.
Oh,
to
hell yeah.
It's a real strong move.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of the best when it comes to wrestlers singing their own theme songs.
So, Honky, we tip our hat to you. You really crushed it. You really made us hate you back then.
I think
you're doing all the things right.
I think like he really talks like that too, though. Maybe that's just why he got that gimmick.
Hey, everybody, like, it's me, Honky Tonk Man.
You sound like a goddamn just parody of somebody making fun of somebody who's from Memphis.
Yeah.
So we're gonna make you a fake fucking. He's like, oh no, I really talk like this.
No, that's really how I talk, man.
There's no way that you really talk like that.
No, I swear to God. Call my mom right now. Get her on the phone. Talk to her this way, man. That's how I talk, man.
It's pretty cool, though. He's a pretty cool guy, and he cheated in the most obnoxious ways too.
Oh yeah!
Like instead of losing like you wanted him to, he had that obnoxious way to get by.
Found a way to weasel his way out of there.
So way to go, pal!
Guy that helped him out a lot in doing that weaseling is my number two pick. Great package with the Honky Tonk Man, and that is the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. It's hard to get more obnoxious than a guy with a southern accent yelling into a fucking megaphone.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much all you got to say right there.
Yeah,
enough said. Then you factor in, too, like, he's this little weaselly skinny guy. He's always running around.
Stupid coats, like bright Converse.
Yapping dog, that little fucking yapping dog that's always jumping up on you. Like, anytime you go anywhere, this fucking little yapper is standing behind the bigger dog. Yep. Just yapping at you. You can't get at him because he's got protection. So, everything that a heel manager in professional wrestling should be. Always a great treat. When he'd have to wrestle some sort of specialty match, though. And, you know, guys would get their hands on Jimmy Hart. He'd come out in some stupid outfit.
Oh, absolutely.
He's real good at, like, working in gimmicks where, like, people would strip him. There's a lot of stripping going on. And he always had embarrassing underwear.
Oh,
That made me mad when I was a little kid. Why is he wearing underwear like that? This kid's an idiot.
He's got silky hard underwear. What a doofus.
Hitting people over the head with his megaphone.
I always hated his hair.
That megaphone. Yeah, his weird, just like 80s mullet hair.
Yeah, I really hated his hair as a kid.
Overall, he's just one of the greatest guys ever. Yeah. I appreciate that now because I'm an adult, and adults have tastes and are knowledgeable. But when I was a little kid, I was stupid because little kids are stupid and they like dumb things and they hate things that are great.
Yeah.
I apologize for thinking that you sucked, Jimmy Hart. You're actually the greatest.
I got my number one pick here.
Number one with a bullet.
We're talking obnoxious heels. Mm-hmm. And we said that there's different kinds of obnoxious. But this guy kind of falls into a category you mentioned earlier. But plain and simple, he was just obnoxious. And maybe he wasn't always a heel all the time, but deep down inside, he was always a heel. And he is the Hot Rod.
Oh.
Roddy Piper.
I got to say, I think that's a good pick. A lot of people like Roddy Piper.
Uh-huh. Correct.
And like, I always kind of found him to be, I don't know. He got on my nerves.
Yeah.
He's a little shrill.
Right.
Like a Jim Cornette.
Right.
He's always thinking he's more clever than he is and just, like, really selling his own jokes that, like, only make sense half the time.
Right.
And, yeah, it works as a heels type thing. I liked him when he was a heel. But as a good guy, you're supposed to like him. He's more obnoxious to me.
Correct.
I think this guy's more of an obnoxious face than he is a heel.
That's fair.
Which is an interesting twist on it.
I'll take that. But that was the one consistent thing of his act, was being obnoxious.
Ugh, another motor mouth. But just not with the wit of a Jim Cornette.
No, just the mouth never stopped. And, you know, he said it best, Hulk Hogan. The only reason they love you is because they hate me.
That's very true. Little kids back in those early 80s days when he was feuding with Hogan would just get fucking whipped up into a lather.
Yeah.
Wanting somebody to shut that guy up. Which is why it was so genius, giving him his own little talk show where he could just, you know, talk his way out of people's hearts.
Right.
The transition I never got into like 90s era good guy announcer type thing. He's never any good at that.
He's just doing the same bit.
It worked with his skill set whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
And he's just, because he's making fun of Heenan now, I'm supposed to like it? No. This guy sucks. I hate him.
Yeah, we like Heenan. Leave Heenan alone.
No, Heenan's the greatest.
Yeah. Roddy, I respect you. I like
you. Solid number one pick.
But you're obnoxious.
My number one pick is a guy. Once again, completely flip-flop on when you turn old. Maybe my most hated guy on the roster when I was a little kid. Now you watch his shit and you realize that it's fucking genius. And I liked it because he had different eras of being obnoxious.
Hmm.
He really just kept evolving and like taking it up a notch.
Like a true artiste.
Absolutely. That artiste is Triple A. Adorable Adrian Adonis.
Oh.
From those early days of the 1980s with him and Dick Murdoch as the tag team champions. Hated their guts. They were just two fucking fat, out of shape looking guys.
Right.
Beating up all the guys that I liked who were in shape, who I thought should be winning the matches.
Yeah.
Thing I like about him is that I like in all my heels. He never shuts up.
No.
He's always John.
Right.
And he just bumps like a fucking maniac.
Mm-hmm.
This guy
and
is
not just cocaine.
Never. No, not that too, though. Yeah. This guy's never out there looking like the tough guy in his matches.
No, sell.
He's always looking like an idiot. He's always begging off. He's always flopping around.
Right.
He's always showing, which is what a clumsy fucking goof he is, which makes it so much more detestable when he's able to beat your favorite fucking guy.
This guy's an idiot. How'd he win?
He looked just like a greasy fucking New York punk, and it was working. It was great. He was a tag team champion. But then he's like, nah, let me take it up a notch. I'm going to start wearing makeup and women's clothes and be real effeminate.
Right.
So then he just layered up more layers of obnoxious on top of it. And I got to tell you what, there's nothing a red-blooded 1980s male hates more than somebody who he thinks is probably a gay.
Yeah, he did a great job of just addressing the cultural temperature at the time and was like, you know what people hate right now and are afraid of? The gays.
Most people.
I'm going to dress up like
one. Ain't going to want all that heat. They ain't going to want to be associated.
Nah,
even if you're trying to be a bad guy, they're not going to want to walk around day to day in your life thinking that you're a gay man in the 1980s. Adrian Adonis was like, not only am I going to be the gay man, I'm going to be the most gay man any of these hillbillies have ever seen. They're going to hate it so much.
That's genius.
I'm
going to
talk about how
shit.
Pretty I am when I'm just this fat, disgusting slob, which is also obnoxious.
Yeah, and literally refer to yourself as words like pretty and adorable and beautiful.
You have the last name Adonis. This man had it all. He was the total package.
Yeah.
Not Lex Luger. That guy had a look and nothing else.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Luger. Give me more Adrian Adonis in my life, and I'm a happy man.
We need more of them. There's not enough guys like that anymore. Obnoxious heels are few and far between.
Maybe like Kevin Owens is kind of the closest thing they got going on in the modern wrestling.
Yeah, but even right now, he's in a program with Strowman where there's no reason established to not like Kevin Owens. He keeps getting beat up by Strowman.
Yeah, he does
like attacked.
Fall into the trap of being a little bit too clever every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, he's a legit funny guy, and he's saying funny stuff that you legit like.
Yeah.
A true obnoxious heel would not be making me laugh. He'd be making me think, like, this guy needs to shut up. He's loud and obnoxious and not funny.
No one knows how to heel anymore.
I can't even think of one. I can't think of one good obnoxious heel. Modern wrestling. Nothing's coming to me.
Triple H.
Papa H, come on. Everybody loves that man.
No, I forgot. Everybody loves him.
Everybody loves that man. Well. Vicky Guerrero was the last one I could think of. That chick, when she was around, she was obnoxious and people fucking hated her. That's literally the last one in wrestling, and that's been years at this point.
She makes
step it up, modern
she
wrestling.
She gets honorable mention to our list, even though she wasn't on the 80s, just for the work she did.
I'm sure back in the 80s, she was obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
We just didn't see it because she didn't have cameras on her, so God bless you, Vicky.
We'll ask Chavito.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got stories.
Dish some dirt. I'll hit him up on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah, he'll spill. He's got nothing else going on.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. All right.
Well, a couple tequilas in that guy.
Some tequila.
Tell you
what?
Tell you all those Guerrero family secrets. I heard things. I've heard things.
Oh, yeah. The pencils were going in people's butts there, too. They're just not talking about it.
Start out the night. And it wasn't a punishment.
No. Oh, no.
Next week, we're coming back with a primetime wrestling.
Oh.
With the 21st.
Okay.
March 21st, 1988. That's going to be the episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. We're getting close. 27th is WrestleMania 4. This is it, buddy. This is going to be our go-home
go
show
home
before
show.
WrestleMania 4, I guess.
Oh,
big shit popping. Little things stopping.
Here on the Baby Oil and Blow.